Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Thursday evening. I get it right every time now.
You do.
I'm really good at this.
I'm impressed.
I'm really good at this.
You got your shit together.
You know what I forgot to do, though? I changed how the file downloads when I record on OBS to MP4, and I forgot to hit record.
It's too late now. So
we'll get it uploaded tomorrow night after work. Yeah. Anyways, hope everyone's having a wonderful Thursday night. We got to talk about China Joe, the crime syndicate family, taking money from other foreign nations, doing their bidding here in the United States for them. Before we get too far into it, of course, let's check out some sponsors. We've got TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this great Dr. Ron Paul for Congress 1974 shirt that you see me wearing tonight by using BTC at checkout for a 10% discount. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe star, become a member of the YouTube channel under all of our videos by hitting the join link. We can get in a private Discord server, mostly run by Ryan these days. And you can get his new gear up to 2 weeks before it goes to the general public at a 30% discount. Top's the man. Go support him and help us support him. And you support us and all those great things, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
He's got great gear, man. Some of the best.
He does. And he has a new show that he's
Yes, he's got a new show
on.
That he's
it's
doing
all about
now.
Conspiracy theories.
He's trying to step into my market, man. But that's okay. That's all right. I applaud.
Josh is going to start designing shirts here.
I applaud that Top is doing all these great things now, man. Because when me and Top started working together, he had like, I don't know, 1,400 followers on Twitter or something. Now he's like at 20,000. Got his own show and he's making money. And I'm proud of the guy, dude. I love him to death. Check him with my wonderful, great, used to be long hair. Did your hair, could you cut your hair?
No, it's still long.
Okay. Mr. Ryan Kurt, he's got a ponytail for you tonight.
Yeah.
How you doing tonight, sir?
You'll know when I cut it.
Okay. All right. Like, fair enough.
It'll look fairly similar to how you have your hair styled.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. It won't be as short on the sides, but yeah, okay. I've done this like three times now.
All right.
Well. Yeah. But I'm doing good.
Yeah. Can we get the Yepcox in the chat for my friend Ryan?
Oh, absolutely. Yepcox. Yeah. At work today, I'm just sitting at my desk and, you know, my boss asked, hey, could we get your baby registry information? You know, a couple of us want to pitch in and get something. And my boss walks up with a cart with like six or seven gifts. And I was like,
nice.
What in the world? I've talked to like six of you people in my 2 years here.
I want to let you guys know, so for you guys that have been following my story, we have six kids in the house, two adopted, two are my stepkids, two are my boys that I've had since 2020. We had a boy in December of 2020 and then a boy of August of 2021 or 2022, August of 2022. So we had two little boys and we have a baby on the way in December. And I've been telling everyone we're going to have three little boys that'll be three and under. It's going to be wild. I can't wait. They're all going to be in high school together at the same time. I'm super stoked. We did the gender today. I'm having a little girl. I'm having a baby girl. So, it will be Nico Evelyn and, it's going to be a girl. I was not prepared to have another girl, but we're having one. So we're having a little girl. AJ is in Disney World with his kids right now.
AJ is at a peaceful farm up north.
Yeah. We sent AJ to a peaceful farm up north. No, he's in Orlando enjoying some Disney World with the kids right now. We wish him well. He'll be back next week for sure. We should have some new studio setup stuff next week too. We'll have Ryan back in his original spot. AJ will have the whole couch to himself. We'll be set up to have guests in studio next week entirely. As many as we want. But yeah, we'll be having a little girl in December 3rd is the due date. So it'll be Nico Evelyn Smith. So we'll have Mateo, Rocco, Nico. And I thought they were all going to be boys, but we did decide that whether it was boy or girl, it'd be Nico. And then the middle name was either going to be Nico Christopher or Nico Evelyn, which is my grandmother's middle name. So I'm happy that I get to use my grandma's middle name. Mateo's middle name was my grandfather's middle name, Floyd. So we have Mateo Floyd, Rocco Steven, and Nico Evelyn. It's pretty cool names. I think they're cool names. I don't care what you guys have to say. We have great guests for you guys tonight. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to have a good guest on tonight.
This is Ryan guest number two.
Yeah, Ryan pulled this guest.
Yeah.
For once. He did something.
Hey, no, I brought in Poofy, and that was a great
You
show.
Did bring in Poof, and Poof was hilarious.
Poof was hilarious. And then she like disappeared off Twitter like right after doing the show. She's not like very active anymore.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
I should reach out.
We do have a great great guest for you tonight. Yeah. She's a wonderful social science
YouTuber.
Great commentary. I'm becoming a fan. Ryan got me into her.
Yeah.
Miss Aiden Paladin. Ma'am, how are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. If you're used to hearing my voice, as I told you guys before the stream, I cannot shake a cold or like flu that I've had. I went to England for a week for a trip I was doing where I was meeting a bunch of other people from YouTube. And as soon as I knew meeting a bunch of people from all over the world, I'm going to get sick. Had it for like a week. Kind of went away for a couple of days, and just tonight it hit me right back in my throat again. Wow. So if I'm a little bit higher pitched, a little bit less loud than normal, because I can get very loud, that's why.
That's okay.
But nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We always are excited to have cool guests on the show, that's for sure. Sometimes I just got to sit here and deal with AJ and Ryan. It's way better when we got a guest on, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about you. Why'd you start the channel? What do you want your social commentary to achieve? All those good things.
Oh, sure. So the way I started it was basically I was taking a mental health sabbatical, a well-needed mental health sabbatical for my doctoral degree. And at the same time, it was right around the 2016 election, like the 2015 primaries season. It was that fall that I took the sabbatical at first. And because I wasn't working, I mean, I was doing some stuff online with the university, but because I wasn't working and going to school full time, because I needed to take the time off. It was just like, I was so stressed because when you go to doc school, they pile a ton of work on you. And then if you're a good doc student, guess what happens? They pile more work onto you.
Sure.
And that can become unhealthy very quickly. Anywho, so instead, to be healthier, I decided to get really involved in politics because it's the 2015 election cycle and it's the biggest thing ever. Not the best choice for mental health, but I took the next semester off a sabbatical as well. And my dad, who I have a really good relationship with, I used to call him up like every day and just talk to him and say, you know, just talk to him about whatever thing politically was bothering me. And he'd say, you know, why are you calling me? Why don't you go tell the internet about your opinions on things? And he encouraged me to start a YouTube channel. And I enjoyed doing it because I got to do the thing I liked the most about doc school, which was getting to teach social science theory and practice.
Sure.
And then I also got to make inappropriate jokes while doing it, which is kind of the best of both worlds.
That's one of the reasons why we started a YouTube channel. There's no doubt about that. I've been working in politics, national politics, since at least 2007 when I campaigned for Ron Paul. And of course, I sat on the National Committee for the Libertarian Party for 2.5 terms. And now
my dad was just not to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
My dad worked for Social Security Administration and as a liaison to the Republicans in 2007. I voted for Ron Paul in 2008, right in my first year being able to vote. And I very briefly got to meet Dr. Paul. I just shake his hand because my dad helped facilitate that with, you know, visitor pass and stuff. That's sure. So cool. Sorry, just a small
no,
role
no, no. That's
like
great.
That.
I actually, my second chair run in 2020, Ron Paul endorsed me for national chairman.
Oh
of
my
the
god,
Libertarian
that's
Party.
Awesome!
It was like the greatest thing to happen to me next to the birth of my children, because Ron Paul is like he's my hero. I don't think there's when it comes to like liberty based politics in the United States, he's the only hero. I mean,
no
he's
one
the
cares.
Biggest. Yeah. Yeah,
yes, he is the goat.
He's the goat. He's the biggest. He's our hero for our generation. Especially I'm 40. I just turned 40 in March, and he's my generation's hero. If you're a liberty guy, there's no one that was better than Ron Paul, because Ron Paul stood on the floor of Congress and called everybody psychopaths and told Giuliani about blowback from the Middle East and like did all these wonderful. In the 80s, he called that man fat on the talk show. When he was like talking about, well, we need to regulate drugs. He's like, well, you're fat. Do we need to regulate food too? I mean, he was the bomb thrower, the biggest bomb thrower ever. And I appreciate the guy. Now I'm running for president and I'm a candidate for president and for the Libertarian Party. We know we're not like winners, right? But if we
Well, 5% is always the goal, right?
There it is.
Yeah.
She knows.
Yeah.
She knows.
I've been doing this since 2007.
Yes. She does. Well, and it's funny because people are like, oh,
actually,
you're not going to win.
2014.
You're not going to win. You're not going to win. It's like, no shit, Sherlock. I know I'm not going to win.
We know.
But if we could get 5% of the vote, it changes the political landscape forever.
Yes. Yes, because then you're on the stage, then you're on the pulpit with everybody else.
Yes,
so and that's we what don't it's have, always about.
They have to give us the same ballot access requirements as every other party as well, which is the hugest thing, because we spend millions of dollars a year fighting for ballot access around the country.
Right.
So,
and Ron Paul was the closest we got, because after that it was Goofy Gary, and then I think really destroyed a lot of that goodwill.
That's what I try to tell people. We had the 2020 or the 2016 election. We had the opportunity to
2012.
We had the opportunity to set the stage in 2016.
Yeah, 2016 was
for 2020, and we dropped the ball. I mean, Gary showed up to every single interview like looking like a freaking Towley from the South Park. Like, he's so high.
Yeah.
You know,
I know, and
he only did it to pay back his campaign manager, because he owed him money for helping him start a business. So it's the only reason he even ran.
Oh, I didn't know that, but I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah, if you listen to Tom Woods, there's a whole episode from years back called the Weiss Report with Judd Weiss, who ran for vice president with John McAfee.
Yeah, yeah.
And he broke it all down. Gary only ran to pay $1 million to Rod Nielsen, and he didn't care. His heart
wasn't at all shocked. Yeah. I'm not at all surprised by that.
Ruined it. Ryan, you got some questions for Aiden, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do. And I talked about this a little bit before the show, but I know you're in a little bit of a spat with Oregon State University about one of your videos.
Oh, I love the Beavers, by the way. I'm a huge Beavs fan. So are you an Oregonian?
No, I'm originally, I was born in Virginia, but not from there. I grew up until age 11 in West Virginia.
Okay.
And then I moved to Maryland, to DC, to the swamp.
Yep.
And then I got my undergraduate in Ohio, and my master's and doctorate in West Virginia again. So fair. East Coaster, you know.
Yeah, I lived in Oregon for 7 years. I hate Portland.
Oh yeah.
But I became a big Beavs fan, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Is that where Oregon State is at?
Oregon State is in Corvallis, and it's the Oregon State Beavers, and they're my favorite college football team next to Cal. So,
well, I might have some negative information to give you about the institution more broadly, but I highly doubt that you'll be too surprised about the nature of an academic higher education institution in Oregon State.
Yeah, especially in Oregon. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. About 2 months ago now, I put out a video. It takes me about a month to make each video, because they're like these huge, like hour and a half to 2 hour long documentaries where I go really deep into a subject. And I am the only person on my staff. It's just me. I do the research. Besides my husband, who helps me write jokes.
Do you do all all the video editing too?
Yeah. That's everything. Yeah. Work, so it's a lot of work. So it takes about a month, but I don't also want to like delegate it. It's a whole thing. So anywho, I make this video 2 months ago, which means the research on it started 3 months ago, because I came across a study called, excuse me, let me make sure that I get this correct. I wouldn't want to miscite the full title. It is called Attack Helicopters and White Supremacy: Interpreting Malicious Responses to an Online Questionnaire About Transgender Undergraduate Engineering and Computer Science Student Experiences.
Is this a paper put out by Oregon State?
Yes, it was published in the, it's not journal, it's the Bulletin of Applied Trans Studies. But look, just because a paper is stupid or a journal is stupid doesn't mean that we should just say, haha, that's stupid, and write it off, because other scholars will cite this, mainstream media will cite this.
Right.
And it was gaining some attention online, because here is what happened. They found that the Oregon State students made a bunch of really racist and sexist and transphobic remarks to the scholars. And the reason the paper is titled Attack Helicopters is because a significant number of students identified their gender as an attack helicopter. And this was published in 2023. So these are not people who were adults when the attack helicopter meme started. These are Gen Z kids.
Right.
And they're still memeing on it in the same way. A lot of the things I definitely couldn't read. I mean, I had to bleep them all out in my video, but okay. I'm not sure about the tone of your show in terms of.
We are definitely for an adult audience. Yeah, no, you're good.
Okay,
so as long as you don't drop the N word.
Oh yeah,
no hard R's.
There were some of those in here. One, I think, but. But it was like only one. And these were not also necessarily Oregon State University students, because they had a massive national survey sample size, and they only ended up with, I think, 723. Not that kind of N. You know, N means the total population size.
Sure.
In a study.
Right.
So
no hard R's.
Right. So the participant 28 identifies as a boy when I'm getting fucked and a girl when I'm the one fucking. My dick goes inside out, so it changes. They identified their race as black on the inside, but when I'm a boy, I like getting my white butt fucked. You know what I'm saying, bro. And their sexual orientation as I am sexually attracted. I couldn't read this one in the video. And this is now like my fourth time reading it aloud, more than that. I'm sexually attracted to the thought of being eaten alive. I know this sounds like a joke, but I'm being serious. I am a macro/vorophile, and I jack off almost every night to the thought of giantess women shoving me up her ass to dip me in her sauce and then throwing my body into her giant mouth. This isn't a joke. I am sexually suicidal and I jack off to death. The doctors say I have a disease, but I find that really fucking hard to believe. It's almost like a poem. So they got a couple of responses like that, and they were really, really upset about it.
Holy shit. That was fucking brutal, dude. Holy shit.
There's so many things. Like, there's so many. That's just, like, that's the biggest poem. That's the longest. Like
the mind that most... came up with that. Can we just talk about that?
The thing is, I think they were being honest.
No. I think they're young. And I'll tell you, here's why I don't think they're being honest. And here's why. So they don't actually publish a study because their question was, this is the question they asked these people. Of course, they asked them their gender identity, their race, racial or ethnic identity, and their disabilities, if indicated. But they were interested in those questions. But the main question they wanted to ask is just explain your undergraduate student experience as a student in an engineering or computer science program. That was their only research goal, which, by the way, it's not really like proper research methods, but
right.
That's, you can watch my 2-hour long video to explain that. However, the problem is that they were offering a $5 Amazon gift card and sent this out to universities all over the country. So all that got sent back out to the students, I guarantee it, is want to win a $5 Amazon gift card, take this study.
Hell yeah, we're taking that study.
Of course. I can get $5 for 10 minutes. Yeah, while I'm a university student, of course. Then you open up the study, and I even went through and I showed in the video in Qualtrics, the statistical program that almost assuredly they use. Actually, I should retract that because the more I've gotten to know about these people, the less I actually think they would even know. Like, I think they probably use SurveyMonkey now that I'm thinking about it. They wouldn't know how to use Qualtrics. But normally on Qualtrics, so I walked through in my video how to set this up on Qualtrics so that if you want people to complete the study, but you only have so many $5 gift cards you can give out, you don't want to prime the subject with what the study is about or to give them a really clear indication of why they've been excluded, because then they'll just open up the study again. And basically what you should have just done is just let them take the whole study and not tell them they weren't eligible for the gift card until at the end when they didn't identify as transgender or gender nonconforming, which they had to get that $5 gift card. You had to identify as transgender or gender nonconforming to get the gift card. And when 99.9% of the population selected no, the study says you're not eligible at this time and kicks you. Well, you can just open your browser back up, can't you?
Clear cookies. Now you're a little pissed. Try again.
And now you're probably a little bit miffed, right?
Right.
Because it's like, what do you mean? I can't. You told me I could get a $5 Amazon gift card, and now you're saying I can't because I don't identify as transgender or gender nonconforming. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they miscalculated all of the basic maths, all of them, and like to the point where I was flabbergasted. And I see bad data all the time.
True.
But the actual calculation was the total number of respondents, if I recall it off my head. The total number of people who responded to this, and again, it was about 800. The total percentage was, if you calculated it correctly, which I did, is a little bit over 7%. They miscalculated and said it was 24%. That's wrong. It's 7% of people responded this way. It is the best calculation that I could come up with dealing with their really simple errors. 7% of people trolled you? In statistics, that's just outside of a regular margin for error.
Right. That's pretty funny, though, that even 7% is hilarious.
Right. And you screwed up your survey methods. Like, you induced this by telling all these students, by the way, what it's really about. That right. It's not about your experience as a student. It's about transgender stuff, which everyone's really tired of right now, I think, politically and culturally.
Yeah, I think that one side wants to use it as a cudgel, and the other mm-hmm. side is like, just, I don't give a shit anymore. Like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, people are so fed up with being beat over the head with all these cultural issues, mm-hmm. right? Like, because they're all used as a way to shut down, like, actual debate about, like, important policy. It's always the bigotry and the racism and the transphobe, homophobe, all these things very clearly used as a cudgel to shut down clear debate, which is directly from the Communist Handbook, by the way. I don't know if anybody understands that.
But and it's thinking about that McDonald's ad, you know, was it, the did you see this cute little, like, just animated Japanese McDonald's ad?
Yes.
And I didn't see it. This is just how people are. They're so politically brained that they can't even hear each other talk. I think the left is way worse about this, but I am biased. And that cute little just ad of a family eating McDonald's fries and nuggets. It's a Japanese ad. It's animated. It's very cute, mm-hmm. and like some relaxing music. And a lot the internet's trying to gaslight me in the order of events, but I remember, which is that it was a lot of people on the right at first who were like retweeting it and saying, this is just so wholesome. I wish that we had advertisements like this in America or in the West. A bunch of leftists come in, they make disgusting, scathing remarks about it because it's the white people, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Then people on the right react to that, you know, angrily. And then a bunch of the leftist people delete their tweets. And then I've now seen people on the left go in and pointing at the people angrily responding to the leftists, going, why are you so angry? And you feel like you're taking crazy pills.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, on purpose. It's on purpose to make you feel insane.
Of course.
And I have a group chat with like a dozen or so people, and probably half of them are younger than me and single. And all of them were just, all of the single guys were just like, I want this. Like, it showed young men what they, like, just really want in life. And because so many of them are lonely. Well,
young people.
Yeah, young people in general. Yes.
Because I'm in a group chat with some women around my age. And one of them who has like absolutely no desire to have children because she's very afraid, I think, mm-hmm. of, well, it doesn't matter. She's turned off by it. I'll just put it that way, right? Very mm-hmm. turned off by the idea of giving birth. And I understand that, by the way.
Yeah.
I totally understand that. So I think that's totally normal. But she said it, and I told her, it's like, man, like, you know, this ad is so cute because I felt the same way. I'd like to have children with my husband sooner rather than later, but there's issues there too.
The cough.
Yeah, sorry. No, oh no, it was not on purpose. But right. Well, yeah, it was well timed. So let's say it was.
Yeah. Aiden's husband, get busy.
He's asleep.
Before we go on, me and AJ, my other co-host who's in Disney World, we actually mm-hmm. bullied Ryan into procreating. So legitimately, we bullied him into it. He was like, we've paid off all the college debt and this and that. And I said, dude, why wait? You're 27 years old. Why are you going to wait? Just do it now. And he did it. And now he's very happy.
It's scary. So, yeah. That's good. I mean, I'm so impressed by people. I'm so actually taken aback by people who aren't like, because I neurotic as me in terms of being like, everything has to be perfect and like planned out in like a very OCD kind of way. But
I'm quite a
life
bit
doesn't work
way.
Like that.
Yeah. If things had gone as planned, we would have started trying right about now.
Instead, they're about mm-hmm. to have the baby.
We're due in about a month here.
We healthily bullied you into procreating. Yeah. So you're welcome.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
He's having a boy. He sucked all the boy energy out of my house.
Congratulations to both of you, both of your families. That's amazing.
Yeah, we did. We nagged him into procreating. We're proud of you, buddy. Anyways, back to Aiden.
Good for you. Oh, no, it was the same thing where I talked to some of the girls that I know too, said it also made me want to have like a little me who I could, you know, eat French fries with. I'm like, yeah, I didn't have like a lot of maternal feelings until I reached probably about 25. I used to be Actually, speaking of the Japanese, it's supposed to be older. Yeah, about 25. Maybe a little 26, I mean, something like that. But no, it was older than that, actually. Sorry, talking to myself. I took Japanese from the time I was 11 years old till about 24. And I have a JLPT2 cert, which is Japanese Language Proficiency Test 2. It's not so good anymore, so don't ask me questions. So my mom is a preschool teacher, and she had this little girl in her school who was from Japan. Her parents moved to America 2 weeks before she starts school.
Oh.
She's three. She doesn't speak any English at all. And has no way, and not only just like not speak any English, all of a sudden you go from Japan, you're three, to America. And my mom's school in particular is a like international school. So they don't just have kids from America. They have kids from all over the world who, it's a lot of people who are like, it's a lot of professors who are traveling professors. Like they're coming to teach for a couple semesters. They send their kids to that school. So it's unbelievably overwhelming. And so my mom asked me to come in and talk to her for a couple minutes. And I just started, and I like practice out in my head everything I'd say, just because this girl's gotta be terrified. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, said like, you know, oh, hi, you know, my name is so-and-so. And, you know, I'm your teacher's daughter. And I planned it all out. And I just said to her like, you know, do you want to, like, maybe have some books in the library that are in Japanese, which we did. And, or we could color and, you know, just ask these kinds of questions. And she just looked at me like dead in the eyes and started just crying and screaming. And I thought, well, I should never have children ever, because that's clearly a bad idea. But I didn't, because it's the immediate emotional reaction and not the logical, rational one of, I terrified her because a white woman walked up to her and who she doesn't know and just starts speaking to her in Japanese. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's got to be horrifying. So that's a roundabout way. So yeah, for years I was terrified of having kids, and partly because of that interaction.
Yeah, I am convinced that Japan is performing a nationwide psyop to convince their population to have more children, because they're like bordering on the brink of unrecoverable population collapse. And so like,
yeah,
the anime they're putting out at like Spy Family and whatnot, they're like showing all these happy families with kids and good interactions with them, and they just and their prime minister is basically like threatening the population, you young people better start pumping out kids or else.
Yeah, it wasn't just him, but Abe was also who's the current one, Kida, but Abe as well, were both talking about the pro-family stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it's continued. So I do think that it's not just an accident that you do get things like Spy Family and the McDonald's ad at the same time.
I do want to say shout out to Level Zero for the $5 super chat, man. We appreciate you. He said he's been watching Aiden's videos for years. Just nice to see this crossover. He's been a supporter of this show since pretty much the beginning, probably the very beginning, 2020. So that's pretty cool. We're having a population decline in the United States too. Mm-hmm. It's a big problem. But when I started running for president, I had already been through the family law system for my child who didn't live with me, but does now. I fought for like 10 years to get full custody of my daughter, and finally did in 2020. And then, fighting to get custody of my son that doesn't live with us too. But, when I started looking into this Title 4D of the Social Security Act, which I've made a big central part of my campaign, because the president does have the executive power to just get rid of that act. But Title 4D, basically what it does is it incentivizes states to split apart families by paying states more than what they spend on child support programs. So you're basically telling the state, hey, if you separate this family, turn one of these people into a visitor and one of these people into a caretaker, right? Then the visitor will have to pay you through the state to pay that person. Every dollar you spend and they pay, we'll pay you, or every 66 cents that you guys spend, we'll pay you a dollar. So like, they've incentivized every state in the United States to split apart families.
And, why do you think that is?
There's several reasons. I think along the same line of the welfare state going into action, like the government has to have the poor and middle class dependent on them to take enough money to continue their pet projects around the world, right? Like if the middle class and the lower classes were all of a sudden like, hey, we don't need the government anymore, the government would be SLL. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd be shit out of luck. Mm-hmm. They, you know, like If everybody collectively in the United States decided, oh, we don't even need a federal government, the federal government would be out of luck. I mean, just completely shit-shacked, right? And I hope more people start understanding that soon. But it's true. Like, they have to create situations where the population is dependent on them to keep their jobs. Legitimately, that's a real thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's to replace the father with the state, with daddy government every time.
Exactly.
So that's, yeah, I given the Ron Paul history, I was wondering if we had a shared opinion on that one. Well, I think that's absolutely what all this is about.
It's so weird if you think about it. You start thinking about it in that term, like psychologically, and you start looking at all of these programs they roll out, the war on drugs.
Every single one, pretty much. Yep.
All the family stuff they put out, all the family law stuff they put out, the welfare state. I mean,
absolutely.
The military sending fathers off to die in war, leaving their kids without a father. I mean, every policy.
It's at every level.
It's
at every level.
Yeah. It's crazy. It hurts me to think about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it is consistent. You know, even though I do consider myself a libertarian to this day, I'm also a monarchist. Nice. And I came to the monarchy conclusion because I was like, this, I don't think that, like, how do I preserve libertarianism?
You big fan of Curtis Yarvin?
I sure am. Yeah,
fair. I was big into Enlightenment and Curtis Yarvin and all that stuff. I'm not as much of a monarchist. I'd consider myself more of a, I just don't want anybody telling me what the fuck to do person.
I feel the same way deep down, but it's like, unfortunately, you gotta tell somebody. Somebody's gonna tell somebody else not to tell you what to do.
Exactly.
Who's got the biggest gun, right? Which is the unfortunate contradiction there.
And I've read a ton of these philosophers, like Max Stirner, where the might makes right. And of course, I love Hoppe. Hoppe's one of my very favorites in the world. And
you
should
check out Erich von Kuhnelt-Lenin.
Okay, I'll give it a look.
Kuhnelt-Leddihn. He was an Austrian nobleman. If you're interested at all in libertarian monarchy, he literally wrote the book on it.
I'll have to check that out. I have not.
I will DM you later for that, because I can assure you I won't.
It's free on Mises.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, I'm sure it's free. Any Austrian anything is free on Mises.
It's free on Mises.
Yeah, and I'm a big Austrian economics guy. Of course, famously Rothbard radicalized me. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Hoppe took me a step further. For sure. But I mean, I've read them all now.
Hoppe taught me about commies, I would say.
Yeah. And a lot of people call, it's funny because a lot of people call Hoppe a monarchist, right?
He's not, though. He's explicitly, I've reread Democracy of the God That Fails so many times. And I've reread his section on monarchy probably at least 10 just to make doubly sure, triply 10 times
he,
over.
He didn't. He said that it was a preferable to democracy, but that still
which doesn't mean
shitty,
it's a good
right.
system.
Yeah, but I will say this. The problem with Hoppians is that most of them have not read Hoppe, and the problem with the people who talk
shit.
They've
read memes about Hoppe.
Yeah, the problem with the people who talk shit about Hoppe are they also have not read Hoppe.
Right.
And you
it's
have this
kind
fight.
Of dense.
Yeah, you have this fight of two people that have never read Hoppe fighting over Hoppe, and it's ridiculous every time.
I found Democracy the God That Failed wasn't all that dense and compared to some of the other libertarian
stuff
I've read.
I've had to read Human Action 3 times all the way through just to get through it.
Yeah, like I read my introduction to Rothbard was The Great Depression.
Oh sure,
that is the densest book I've ever read. I didn't understand half of it. I'm reading For a New Liberty.
That's the book that radicalized me, dude. That's the first one.
Yeah, that's starting to convince me on privatized justice and police forces.
That's the first libertarian book.
Ones.
That's the first libertarian book I ever picked up was For a New Liberty.
And those kinds of ideas are the ones that get you, I think, that are what really separate Lulberts from libertarians, if you understand my meaning by that.
Yes.
We started calling them the regime libertarians now. Like, that's what Lulberts
quite good. That's quite good.
I always say they're the ones trying to get invited to the DC piss orgies.
Yes.
That's what I said. I said, you guys are never going to get the invite to the DC piss orgies. So just knock it off. Knock that shit off. Can you be brave and bold and say the things that need to be said? If not, don't be here.
They're the autistic kid that tries to fit in with the jocks.
Yes.
You could just be Ron Paul and actually give them a piece of your mind, which was, of course, why, Ron Paul interested me.
Yeah, I don't care about being invited to it's evolved because I used to call them the DC champagne parties, but now I just call them the piss orgies because it's totally
more accurate.
Yeah, giant piss orgy. I'm not interested in being invited to the DC piss orgies. I want to bust all those people for war crimes. And you know what I mean? Like, I hate all of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And going back to, all the way back to this attack helicopter study, if I had any chance of getting back into academe, I just burned it in this, these last 3 weeks. Burned it, I think, permanently.
The thing is, you're way, like, the people that I've met in academia, you're way more intelligent and way more consistent than all of them, that, which is why I've grown to admire your stuff.
Well, thank you. I do. Anyone who's, you know, the struggle with the academic stuff, right, mm-hmm. is imposter syndrome. And a lot of the people who are like, who would be best at academia in terms of actually wanting to do what it's supposed to do. And you asked me earlier, which I don't think I answered, which was the point of my channel, what I was out to do, which is to, when you do your prospectus in doc school, right, they ask you, why are you seeking a doctorate? What's your, why do you want a doctoral degree? And my prospectus statement was to contribute positively to the wealth of human knowledge. And I've never wavered from that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was the whole thing on the YouTube prospectus as well, which is, well, to just make sure that everybody has access to this knowledge, so therefore contributing positively. So I don't really care about anything other than the just revealing information.
True.
But I think after this... yeah, these last two videos I've made, despite having done this for years, I think particularly after the phone calls where I did use my real name, because I thought, I'm being open and upfront with you, mm-hmm. and people do know my name. It's not like it's not out there. That might have gone down the drain this last week.
Hey, listen, listen. If they let Walter Block teach at schools of economics at major colleges, I think you'll be fine.
I know, right?
You just got to find the right one.
You got to find the right one. It was, I was shocked. I was truly, truly taken aback to the point where I felt like, beyond flabbergasted. I didn't even know how to react to some of the responses that I got, which was mostly nothing. But when I did get responses, it was just crazy. So what happened was, should I get back? Sorry, my going all over the place trying to explain this attack helicopter study story.
We got plenty of time. Yeah. We got plenty of time. So we do usually do about an hour and a half. So you got time.
Cool. So I make my video about this attack helicopter study that, as I described, is insane. Like, it's absolutely ludicrous. And of course they claim it's all that all the responses are racist and anti-Semitic, et cetera, et cetera. It's anti-everything. And some of the things are, some of the students make good claims, by the way, in their responses. They say that, okay, for example, like, do you have any friends or classmates who support you and your success in engineering, despite, as it relates to your race, sexuality, disability? And this person just says, no, I'm a social outcast, transsexual. Who the hell would hang out with me? And people raise some kind of interesting points. There's several people who actually in the responses said that none of this matters to engineering, because frankly, it doesn't. So I make a whole video explaining all the flaws, and I'm laughing at the study. And I went in and I looked at the researchers. Now, their names are all published and public on the study because you chose to publish it in a public journal. Duh.
Right.
And so I looked into all the, there's five authors. I looked into all of them out of interest. And
all five are giant leftists, right?
Of course. Yeah. I was expecting one of them, but yep, that even that one let me down. Haverkamp, it's like they all, three of them are engineers, and two of them are, one is a poet and their advisee, who is also a poet. So again, this is the level of scholarship.
Right.
And Quilly Driscoll is the name of the professor who's a poet who identifies as, oh, it's not going to be in this one. It'll be in my file here. But I just, as Crip and Mad, and as Navajo and Cherokee, and it's a white guy, by the way.
Of course. Hey, I'll tell you this, as an aside, every single person that's white with blue eyes that's told me that they were Native American was always Cherokee every time.
Oh, of course. Yes. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. But they, of course, are all kinds of things. Then there's that's the poet, and then their third astral gender, whatever, because they're that with the Indian gender.
Their autogender.
Right. Their advisee is a female to male transgender who calls themselves, get ready, you're a woman who is going to become, who is going to style yourself as a man. You can choose any name you want. How about like Brock Mc Thrust Crunch? I don't know. Something like masculine, because you're trying, you know. That's something like that.
Yeah. Overcompensate.
Yeah.
Would you ever choose the name Finn Johnson?
Oh my God.
Finn Johnson. It kind of sounds Finn Johnson. I mean, it's spelled with an F, but it sounds like Finn.
That, I think that person has probably watched a lot of Stranger Things, because Finn.
Maybe, like... but when I hear Finn Johnson, I hear skinny penis.
Yeah.
It's your boy, Mr. Skinny Penis.
What up? Skinny Penis in the house. What's going on? Real man here.
All the names you could pick. I could not. So I spent, after they filed a complaint, while I'm on, while I'm in England, by the way, so I'm not checking my emails and stuff. And I almost feel, because they waited for almost for just about 3 weeks after the video came out. Well, I'm about to end my time away. So they, I guess maybe it just took them a while, but it was when I was away that they waited to file this complaint. As far as I understand, it's a privacy complaint that they filed. They say that there's private information included in the video. There is not. If you consider your own names private information, quit.
Yeah, names are not doxing, by the way.
Well, and you work at the university and you publish this research and your name is on the research, then quit.
And probably somewhere in there, there's some state funding too, I'm sure.
Oh, the National Science Foundation funded this.
There it is. I knew it. I fucking knew it. I knew it.
Of course.
They funded a Survey Monkey survey.
Yes.
Of course. I knew it. I knew it. As soon as I heard this shit, I knew that the state was involved somehow.
It was of the utmost importance for national defense. You don't understand.
Yeah. Listen, the Pakistanis need gender studies. You just don't get it.
The
you
National Science Foundation, they need to know about how computer science and engineering undergraduate students feel about their transgender and gender nonconforming experiences on college campuses.
Yeah.
And
thank you, National Science Foundation.
And if you're going to have a fine time in, like, as gender nonconforming or whatever in college, it's probably going to be in one of those majors, because those are the people that just do not give a shit.
Why is it their programming socks?
Why is it always fucking STEM, dude? Like, all the fucking time, always.
It's lonely men.
Because there is such an overlap between autism and transgenderism.
That's true. Yes. That is true. Yeah,
both in males and females. And the thing is, too, that you talk about undergraduate STEM students. These are guys that, typically speaking, feel as if they don't have a proper place in society. They usually have niche hobbies. They spend a lot of their time on the internet. But even if they're not spending their time on their internet, like, let's go back. If the same online environment were just applied, but in a sort of different way in terms of the transgender stuff, you take it back to the 1990s and talk about D&D groups. I just got done playing D&D earlier today, guys. That's what I was doing.
It's been a long time now.
Oh, awesome. Just started a new 5e campaign. That's what I was doing earlier today. But you just take it back then, and these are still men who are very intelligent, but are still kind of gathering the skills that they need to succeed more in the social context in college and high school a lot of the time. And so they're bonding with other men, but they're not necessarily used to how to bond outside of a group of friends that they've specifically built. So that's something that, but if you just introduced this thing onto that environment, you just drop right into the 1980s or late 1980s and go, early 1990s, and go, hey guys, want to have, make it so that women will want to hang out with you. And of course, they will not explain this fairy that's appeared in the past, is that the reason women want to hang out with you is because you're their purse puppy.
Right.
You're their accessory of, oh, look, I have, look at my transgender friend.
Right. They don't even need to say friend. This is my transgender. I remember, high school, like there was like two gay guys, three gay guys in high school.
Yes.
And the groups of girls would be like, this is our gay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, literally, that's what they would say. They're not our gay friend. This is our gay. And I'm like, holy shit.
This is my transgender. She's a purebred Hispanic.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude. Like,
that's how groups of women, I was going to say young women, but then I realized, no, that's like any age will do that stuff. So, but it's like, hey guys, you can find a group of women and they're going to fawn all over you. They're going to pay attention to you all the time. And in fact, not only that, everyone's going to have to be nice to you. Yeah. No more. You can't be picked on anymore. Because if you get picked on, anyone who picks on you is going to be kicked out of school. Like forever. They're done.
And taken off social media.
Yeah. Because they have committed the greatest crime.
Maybe fired from their jobs.
If a teacher tells you turn in your homework late, if you don't get good grades, well, teacher's discriminating.
Being transphobic.
And you come to this group, this type of group of young men whose also brains are like running crazy with testosterone. They're not thinking straight. They've got adolescent egocentrism. They've got adolescent impropriety toward and risk. They don't have the risk averseness that you have once things settle down in adults. This is for males and females, by the way. But particularly in young men, because we find this mostly affects young men. Well, then you're going to see a lot of young men decide that actually I'm a woman. Oh yeah, woman can't turn you down for sex either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, you just became an emo and put on eyeliner.
Exactly.
And then all the girls wanted to got into a band, and all the girls wanted to hang out with you. Yeah. That's how it worked.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it was in the 2000s as well when I was growing up. Yeah. So I mean, I think that's how it normally was. Is that if you're in any way an alternative guy, and I mean that in the broad sense of things, you're just not like the super, like ripped jock. It's not your thing. There are always alternatives to attracting women. Why are women not funny, largely speaking?
Because they don't need to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not built
evolutionarily.
An evolutionary trait for men have to be funny.
Yeah.
If you're not a chunk McLarge huge, yeah. and for whatever reason, you have to find some other way to woo the ladies. Yeah. That can be being funny, that can be being talented at something. It can be anything. Yeah.
Anything that like projects the ability to provide, like just be a provider. That's right. What women look for. You don't necessarily have to be a provider. You just have to have the signals that indicate you will be one.
We've gone over this. Men are largely judged on what they bring to the table.
Yeah.
Women are not.
Of course.
It's always been that way.
And women are judged on their appearance, which I think that's mostly it, but women are just traditionally have been judged on other things. Like, you know, I was thinking back to the Snow White movie that they're remaking, and all Snow White wants to do, like, she doesn't have a problem cooking or cleaning. She just wants to be way or not cooking, cleaning, Cinderella, not Snow White. I'm confused. It's just to be away from the horrible, like with her stepsisters. It's not to want something totally different. I just thinking about that the other day, struck me. I think the thing is that, yeah, women are good at certain things, but they're mostly it's about physical attractiveness first.
Right.
And that's okay. It's all right that things are different between the sexes.
They're supposed to be, actually.
Yeah, that's
exactly,
good.
Exactly. I just find the idea that everything must be parody to be so fundamentally absurdist.
Right. I find it disgusting.
Yeah, true.
Sorry. Benzo Barbie in the chat said, we were a better nation when men wore guyliner. And I just want to, once again, I've said it on the show before. If you can find my MySpace, it exists. You will see me in guyliner, I promise. But you have to look real hard for that, because I was a musician, touring band guy, played, sang in bands in the emo and hardcore screamo metalcore days. There's quite a few pictures of me out there. If you can find them, I dare you. Good luck. You'll laugh. I'll laugh. I'm 40. I haven't put eyeliner on in a long time, but there was a time, and you know, there were a bunch of us that were like, I did like MMA and I was in good shape and still wore skinny jeans and guyliner. I don't give a shit. I played music. That's how we did it. You know what I mean? But it's funny because I was talking about this because there is a legitimate like thing as gender dysphoria. That's a real thing.
I agree.
It happens. There's people out there that are actually feel like they're legitimately living in the wrong gender, and it's the brain thing that they have going on. It used to be in the DSM. The manual, right? Like DSM-5. I think they took it out.
They've removed it. It's in the extended parts, but it's not considered a disorder anymore.
They've also taken retard out of the out of there as well.
It's developmentally delayed.
Yeah, you don't. So we are allowed to say it. We took it back.
So I'm just developmentally delayed.
Yeah, we took retard back. We're allowed to say it now. We made them get rid of it in the DSM, so we have it now. It's ours. I don't care what anyone says. It no longer applies to anybody with developmental disabilities. It only applies to you being stupid on the internet, and I'm going to call you it. So, but no, that's there is a legit thing there that happens. The amount that it happens is nowhere near what we're seeing on the scale that we see it on now. Not even close.
One thing that I noticed as I reviewed the literature on it is that there were fMRI research that were being done, or data that were being collected, excuse me, up until about 2012 on what you just described, the actual neuropsychological reactants to stimuli in the brain for people differentiating between people who are biological males who do not have dysphoria and biological males who do. And again, we're talking about an extremely small portion of the population, you know, about 0.51% if you're being extremely generous by modern standards, but it's about 0.5, I would say, max.
And then even further within that, you have to differentiate between gender, within men, between gender dysphoria and onogonophilia.
Well, they're trying to get rid of that. But from what I saw, it was, well, obviously, because it's a sexual perversion, but they do want to include perversions into... They don't, it's a mixed bag with the left. They want to be able to give special privileges to people with perversions, but they don't want to admit that they're perversions. So they're still figuring that one out, I think, how to complete that.
Is that kind of like,
that's called FurCon.
Is that kind of like gender is fluid, but you choose a gender that's binary when you choose your gender?
Of course. It's trying to fit, you know, squares into circles and back and forth. And well, they're trying to do that with sex all over the place, I suppose. They found these in these old neurological fMRI studies that there was activation in, particularly in males who had reported gender dysphoria, there was activation in parts of their brains that looked more similar to typical activation in female brains. Now, we also know that there's a feminizing effect that occurs in utero to male foeti that are growing in the uterus of a woman who has had multiple female children. The more female children you've had, I mean, male children, not female, male children, because the female body is somewhat resistant to testosterone and will develop a greater resistance over time. It's why there's also a correlation between the number of sons you have and the likelihood that one of those sons will be gay.
That's just kind of funny. I'm the third of five children. The first four were boys, but the oldest is gay. And
it's very common for the youngest male son, particularly when it's a family with a lot of boys, to be homosexual.
Yeah, but he's 6'3", extremely masculine. Like, I'm probably the least masculine one.
I met one of your brothers, and I would definitely say of the two of you, you're the least masculine one for sure.
Yeah.
He's
probably the most masculine one.
Yeah, he's definitely he seems like the hunter of the family for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And he's the middle?
No, I'm the middle child.
Oh, you're the middle child.
Yeah,
Is he the oldest?
No. No, you wouldn't like the oldest.
Your gay brother's the oldest.
Yeah, my gay brother.
And then
brother.
He's the youngest then?
No, he's older than me. So.
Oh, yeah, you have...
I have five siblings, two older, two younger.
Jeez, okay, all right, that makes
sense. So the one who's older than you is homosexual?
The oldest one, the very first child.
Well, see, that's the opposite way around.
Yeah.
Because the way that this... Yeah, which, I mean, like, again, this is not a predictive or determinant.
See, I'm ending with a girl, so
yeah.
Here we go. Go ahead.
Yeah, there you go. Top it off. But by the way, and don't get like freaked out about having children because of this extremely like small possibility.
Yeah,
I'll just have them
pray the gay away.
Well, I also think that probably is the same phenomenon that explains a huge number of the small number that exist of transgender male to females is they're gay men.
Right.
Yes. Are you familiar with the work of Dr. Ken Zucker at all?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah. He found that about
80% transsexual homosexuals. Got it, finally. Third time's a charm.
Yeah, but he found that about 80% of kids that experience gender dysphoric symptoms actually are just gay.
That makes a lot of sense.
Which, again, you think the lefties would care about because they claim to care about homosexual rights so much, but... Not really.
It's weird. I think it's this consistent group of loud narcissists that latch onto whatever movement has the most ability for them to manipulate by morally grandstanding.
In the layman's terms, it's the oppression Olympics. Whatever gives them the most oppression possible to use as a weapon against people that they...
Yeah, it's whatever they can weaponize.
And there's
another
side of this, too, that's really... I need to figure out how to cover up for my own degeneracy. It's shameful what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's shameful what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I know that it's shameful for what I'm doing. That's why we must normalize sex work. It's like, no, dude, you'll never normalize sex work because no father in the world is going to be like, yeah, I hope my daughter's a sex worker. That's it's never going to be normalized.
Never.
And it shouldn't be.
Well, you're not going to be a sex worker if you have a father in the picture.
Oof. Ouch. You smell like you.
I mean, true.
And you walk into the strip club and it smells like vanilla and daddy issues for sure. Yeah, no, it's true. Like, and you know, it's always everybody who's like, typically the people who are like, we have to normalize this. It's because they do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they want it to be normal so that their degeneracy isn't like on display for everybody to see. And everybody's just like me. See, it's normal. It's normal. That's the only reason they're fighting for it. Like, I don't go out and fight for like to normalize sex work. Like, I don't think there should be a law against it. Right. Like, as long as it's consenting adults.
Sure.
But I also am like, yeah, keep that shit in the shadows. I don't want my kids to know about that. You know what I mean? Like, and most parents would say the same thing if they're being honest.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that cry to normalize some things started as advocation for people with disabilities. And it was like, hey, normalize some of these little things that we can do that really substantially help people with disabilities.
Well, and I've talked about this with my presidential campaign. I believe the doctors that prescribe these medicines to children and push to have these mutilative surgeries for children should be prosecuted under the same U.S. code as child sex trafficking. I've like med this part of my platform because I think it's gotten out of hand. It's such a trendy thing, and doctors are making money off of it, right? We're chopping off girls' breasts and little boys' penises and shit. Like, no, sorry, we're not doing that anymore. Child abuse is not healthcare. It's just not healthcare. I don't give a shit what you have to say. Now, if you're an adult and you want to do, you know, I've said this in interviews, like if you're an adult and you want to graft a forearm dick to your forehead.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, go ahead. Just when you're around my kids, put underwear on your fucking head, dude. They don't need to see
that. Or just don't go any place where you're going to be seen by children, probably.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you hang out at the gay bar, I guess, or whatever. I mean, there are people who have done crazy body modifications and you don't see them on the street. Like, they don't, excuse me, you see them on the street maybe, but you don't see them at the elementary school reading nursery rhymes.
Right.
Like trying to convince children to tattoo their eyeballs.
Well, here's the thing. We used to publicly shame people. Okay, and we were a real nation, a good nation that publicly shamed things that needed to be shamed, and told people, "Hey, you can't do that in front of kids. Get the fuck out of here," or "You got to stop doing that in our schools. Get the fuck out of here." Like, we were a proper nation. Okay, now they're using this shit as a cudgel to institute their degeneracy to our children, and that's a line. That's a line that can't be crossed.
Yep,
and if you cross it's a catalyst for war, legitimately. Mm-hmm. When you start fucking with the children.
I think you're heading that way,
Yeah, when you start heading with the children, it's going to be violent. And so all these people are like, we're coming for your children. Good luck, dude. Good luck. I live in Iowa. Yeah. You want to try and come for the children in Iowa, dude? Make it through the cornfields. I dare you. You know what I mean?
It's the first issue, I should say, in my... You know, I was vaguely political, like back again when Ron Paul first got started. I was in high school though, so I was just like starting out. I was a very young person. But over the 7 years I've been covering this stuff pretty much every single day, I've not seen any other issue even come close. And it's because it has to do with children. Mm-hmm. It's a basic human instinct. And anyone who wants to hurt or degrade children, and you know, when you brought up earlier, it's all like an externalization of their own guilt. What do you think that's about? I feel defiled, so I need to defile other people so that we're all equally dirty.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And a lot of it is just straight up projection. A lot of the shit they call the right is projection too, like hateful and bigoted and racist. I mean, there's no bigger racism in this country right now than the bigotry of low expectation. Like, the 100% the worst racism happening in the United States on a mass scale is the bigotry of low expectation. It's the fucking left telling black people that without white people, you'd never be anything. Like, that's literally what they're saying.
You know, like, without the government.
What's
like, I mean, without the government, you'll never become anything.
Yeah, you can't, you know, and it's, you
but
know,
they've
you
been
can't,
doing that though for 100 years.
Well, the Lyndon B. Johnson was the one who really took it covertly, right? So like, you know, there's
in terms of.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, there's a, it's a conspiracy theory that he said he'll have them inwards voting Democrat for the next.
I thought that was a confirmed
it's
fact.
It's not.
That he
a,
said
it's
that.
There's been people that say they were there and confirmed it, but it wasn't ever. He never put it
Lyndon
out.
Lyndon B. Johnson
anywhere.
Is also quote unquote confirmed to have called someone about like taking out his pants because he had a huge dick. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there was all kinds of weird shit about Lyndon B. Johnson. Of course, Lyndon B. Johnson is famously the person who took over for JFK after he told the CIA, no, we're not going to do false flags on Americans to go to war with Cuba.
Weird how that happened.
All of a sudden, he's gone.
What
you
a
know?
Weird coincidence.
Well, and I keep telling people because my campaign's picking up a lot of it's fast. I mean, it's speedy, picking up a lot of steam, and it's kind of weird to me because I'm just a blue collar working class guy, and the CIA is definitely going to try and take me out. So I keep telling people like, look, I'm not going to be taking any I'm not going to be taking any convertible rides down streets in Dallas, Texas anytime soon. I promise you. Okay. But it's Lyndon B. Johnson was the one that took it covert. Prior to that, they were all the Dixiecrats, right? Who like, were famously very racist people. They were the ones that were pro segregation. They were the ones that were pro, you know,
but it's part of Dinesh D'Souza, who I'm always a little bit tepid on. I like a lot of his work and I'm kind of on others.
Who?
Did he call that book The Big Lie?
Oh yeah.
No, that was a Nazi one. The one about the Confederates one that was also about that was The Big Switch or something, wasn't it?
That's the thing is that they always say, oh no, the party switched. No, they didn't.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I'm not a fan of the Republicans. I think the Republican Party
I'm
is
not either.
Terrible, terrible garbage.
Which is crazy when I hear that stuff levied at me and it's like, I'm not a Republican.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a Republican. I was like, when people start calling, oh, you're just a Trump MAGA guy. I'm like, I literally sat on the board of the National Committee for the Libertarian Party for the last 5.5 years. Also, I'm running for president against Trump, you dumb shit. But I, so here's the thing, like, they always try to say this big switch took place, right? Well, this took place after desegregation and this and that. No, it didn't.
Right.
The Democrats, and Malcolm X told everybody this. I mean, Malcolm X was like straight up like, the Democrats are not your friends. They're trying to push these welfare policies and stuff and drug policies and stuff to bring down the black man and tear apart the black family. And it's true.
Mm-hmm,
it's 100% true that the Democrats basically took their bigotry, put it behind the closed door, and started enacting policy that would hurt those communities. You know, the gun laws, the drug war, all of it.
Well, I mean, you know, I said I moved out of West Virginia when I was a kid, when I was 11. I moved to Baltimore, Maryland. So from age 11 to 18, I lived in Baltimore. I went to Baltimore School for the Arts. I saw, which famously Tupac and Jada Pinkett Smith graduated from. But, you know, I saw everything that happened in Baltimore. I saw exactly how much that city had been so deeply harmed by, because it's all, I think it was like 100% Democrats ran all the city government. And even in my time being there, at one point, one of the education people just stole hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it was just, you know, waved away. It just elect another Democrat. They'll be sure to give you what you want this time. We're promising the 75% black population of Baltimore, which is so incredibly impoverished, in which there's no crime no law and order and rampant crime. We're promising them things that we know that we can't and we have no desire to improve upon under the promise we'll fix it next time. And that's how we will keep, in the alleged words of Lyndon B. Johnson, them voting Democrat forever.
The hard R.
He did use
apparently
the hard R.
He said the hard R, yeah.
Allegedly, yeah.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they've somehow convinced a bunch of people that we're the racist, that anybody who's white that wants freedom for all people is the racist. It's crazy to me.
Would that have been before the really proliferation of the A? I don't know when that started.
Oh, no. Yeah, it would have been way before.
They were still saying that yeah.
What happened? What was the point before that?
We're still here.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. What was the point before that? Before the A or R question?
Well, we were kind of talking about the big switch, and then it.
Yeah, there was a specific point.
Democrats being constantly elected in Baltimore.
No, we were way before. We started the big switch way before the Baltimore talk.
Yeah, no. It was the exact last thing. Yeah. Oh, well, it'll come back to me maybe if it's important. If it's not, it won't. Let's continue.
Well, and we are getting to the to closer to the end of this thing. But I do, I named this episode China Joe Biden Family Crime Syndicate because we needed to talk about this situation. But then you have just been a wonderful guest. You're like, you're almost up there with Scott Horton in the terms of I can say a thing and then you can talk about it and I don't have to sit here and interview people.
Oh,
which
sure.
I like. But in 2020, Joe Biden told Americans that his family never received money from China. We've already proved that to be a lie earlier this year. And now we know that two wires originating from Beijing listed Joe Biden's Wilmington home as the beneficiary address when he was running for president of the United States. This is fucking crazy to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We already know that his name was involved in money coming from Ukraine, right? Mm-hmm. 10% for the big guy. There was text messages that proved it. But now they
still have people saying that's not true. Still have people saying that's not true. But
they're not smart.
The big guy was Hunter's penis.
Yeah. The big guy was Hunter's penis for sure. Yeah. That, we know that to be a lie too because we've seen the pictures.
unfortunately.
So here's the thing. Joe, we know that he's the 10% for the big guy from Ukraine. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're talking, that's a country that we're now sending billions of dollars to go to war.
They just said that if the government shuts down, they will not stop the U.S. funding to Ukraine.
Of course. It's the one thing. Well, and that's the thing is they're using,
why?
They're using,
why?
It,
that's the, like half the point of the government shutdown.
They're using it, the AUMF as a, like a cudgel for that too, right?
Because
AUMF continues even when the government shuts down. So this is like, this is like precedent from the AUMF, right? And so, but now we have like, they legitimately wire transfers to Joe Biden's address while he's running for president in 2020 from China, who we're also at odds with currently, you know what I mean? And using this tripwire issue of Taiwan to try and push for war with China.
Yeah, we're totally, excuse me, Joe Biden's totally adversarial with China.
He's the first president since Nixon. This is what we kind of got into this agreement when Nixon was in office, right? With China. And it was like, we were your big friend at high school, right? You're like the kind of the dork, and that's Taiwan. It's kind of like the dork at school, right? And then you have this big friend that is at school with you, and that's America, right? And we were basically like, all right, here's the deal. China, don't fuck with Taiwan. If you do, we might protect them. And then we went to Taiwan and we're like, listen, Taiwan, don't mess with China because we might not protect you. And like, for all these years since Nixon, it's worked. And no president, even Obama, even George Bush, who wanted war with everybody, never talked about going to war with China over Taiwan. It's always just been an understanding.
Because it's ludicrous.
Well, we've always thought of Taiwan as part of China. We've never recognized it as its own nation. And it is a rogue, considered a rogue territory, just like the Donbass is. It's a rogue territory. And
well, yes, good point.
Well, and here's the thing, we're telling Ukraine, yes, we'll support you in going to take back your rogue territory from, by the way, ethnic Russians want to be part of Russia. Okay.
Well, don't place too much emphasis or hope on the election that was conducted Donbass.
Yeah, that's also true. Who knows what was real, what wasn't. But here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Taiwan, we're telling China, no, you can't go back. You can't go take back your rogue province. Mm-hmm. Sorry. You have to let them be their own separate country. They're 90 miles off the coast of China, by the way.
Yeah.
They're thousands of miles away from us.
To be fair, exactly. You want to put that in perfect kind of collaboration. I live on an island that's about 90 miles off the coast of England and about 30 miles off the coast of France, something like that. I may have my mileage wrong, but it's about 30 miles off the coast of France, probably 90 or maybe 100 off the coast of England. This country that I live in, the Channel Islands, is a crown protectorate, which is ostensibly sort of kind of run by England. But that would be like if China was trying to come and liberate Guernsey,
right,
where I live.
Right.
Because we're under the thumb of the British monarchy. I mean, that's a kind of just to, I think, put it in perspective how ludicrous that
would
be.
Yeah, well, and Scott Horton had a gentleman on his show that runs these war games, has been doing it for years and years and years, was a big part of
this. Yes.
And basically he said, we've run this op, like, as a war game 100 times, and we've lost every time. We lost every time. Yep. They always sink a carrier or a submarine or something that would actually lead to a nuclear war. And so, like, if we lost a carrier off the coast of Taiwan from China, we would launch a nuke. Joe Biden would launch a nuke. There's no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. No, but Joe Biden's never going to go to war with China.
Yeah. We have to make sure.
That pays his bill.
Right. Yeah, and that's, I was kind of worried about this hot war with China over Taiwan. I was. And then I saw this and I'm like,
I was not.
I was more concerned about a hot war with China than I was with Russia, to be honest with you.
I'm not worried about the hot war with Russia because that's all fake too.
Yeah, that's definitely all proxy bullshit. But China, the thing about China is all they want is like 5% more influence in the Pacific. Like, they're not really everyone's got this idea that China wants to take America down. They don't give a shit about us.
No, they want to take Taiwan. I've heard this stupid stuff about, have you not heard this about Russia's like, first Russia takes Ukraine and then they're going to take Germany and then they're going to take Poland and then Germany. And it's like, what are you like out of? Just try to think about, I was just trying to think about things in a rational, political, geopolitical manner. And they're like, oh, wait, never mind. You read Twitter all day.
Yeah, there's no way that would happen.
Because Germany, certainly, they have a history of not having any sort of military competence whatsoever. They've never succeeded in war whatsoever.
Yeah, no, not even one time. Unfortunate for those Germans, you know? It's not like they took on the entire fucking world one time or anything.
Yeah. And it's not like all of Europe hasn't like perpetually been at war for hundreds of years.
Thousands.
It's in their blood. They're the most practiced war.
They used to have kingdoms that were like 20 miles apart warring all the time, dude. All the time.
Yeah.
They were as bad as the Native Americans.
Yeah, that's just the nature of humanity is to fight with your neighbor over little things that retroactively seem very petty, but were very important at the time being.
Like the people in Pennsylvania that got shot for shoveling snow onto the other guy's driveway. Do you remember that?
Oh, caught on video. Stuff like that. No. Yeah.
Brutal, dude. Brutal. He came out and shot both of them, his wife and the guy, with like an assault rifle right in the street.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing. And then went in his house and killed himself. He was having a rough week for sure. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't get better.
No, it didn't get any better. Well, maybe it did. Maybe it did. I don't know. Well, who knows? We don't know.
Well, there was no more negative emotion.
Yeah. He didn't have to worry about the snow in his driveway anymore. That's for sure, dude. And that was obviously pissing him off.
What was certainly, colored a more festive color, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't eat the red snow either.
Snow is a little drab, dude. I'm not going to lie. It was a brutal video to watch, too, because he shot him and then walked up and executed him. Like, and it was all on video. And the dude was like screaming. It was.
I've never seen like a pixelated version of this though.
I've watched a lot of this shit. I don't know. I like come across videos online at work and stuff on my phone, and I'm just watching them. Like, oh, I wish I didn't watch that today. That's
At least share it with your Fed.
No. Oh, with my Fed. My Fed sees everything.
Yeah.
I know that I'm on lists. By the way,
message him and be like, hey, yo, this is really messed up. Check this one out.
I keep waiting for them to put me on a no fly list like they did Fuentes.
Right.
I know it's coming for my wrong think at some point.
I don't know.
We're building a pretty big movement here. It's really great. Like we're doing like 7 million impressions a week right now. It's pretty crazy.
I don't think, by the way, that obviously Fuente should have been put on a block list or a no fly list or debanked or any of that. That's absolutely the fact that's a thing in
scary
America.
As fuck.
Any of those things is horrifying.
Yeah, it's scary.
But I don't think Nick Fuente is as a significant political threat.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think
let him speak and people will realize that he's just kind of a lonely loser.
Kind of silly.
Dude's walking around in Kanye boots right now, bro. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. And his space jacket.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from, but maybe he's just trolling us all. I don't know. But they did the same thing to Ryan.
Dawson.
Yeah.
Ryan Long.
Oh, no, Ryan Dawson. No, Ryan Long hasn't been depersoned yet. I don't think.
No. But he'd been Dawson.
Ryan Long's hilarious. I want to get on Ryan's. Yeah. I would like to get on Ryan's show sometime and hang out with them. Mm-hmm. His co-host,
Danny.
He did his show. He does his show. What's the name of his show?
I don't know.
It's like a late night show that he does. But he played my campaign ad on his show.
Yeah.
It's
pretty
nice.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
He had Ryan Dawson on and people were just calling in and shitting on Dawson the whole time.
Yeah, it's so weird because Dawson like gets shit on all the time because of how he acts.
Yes.
Not because of the shit he says. The shit he says is fucking, he's very smart and he knows a lot of things, but he's like an asshole to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that rubs people the wrong way.
And he's not like the funny asshole either.
A lot of really smart people tend to be that way.
Yeah, he's.
I think it's just the thing that happens with really intelligent people. Sometimes they get like annoyed. Speaking of clubs, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, well, China's owns Joe Biden. We know that. We have confirmation of that now.
Yeah.
So.
But it won't. It won't matter because we.
Nobody
with
cares.
All the Hunter Biden leaks, we had all the information about the you know, quid pro quo with Ukraine, and they just won't care.
Right.
The only thing that, because I've been talking to people about the Ukraine thing for over a year. I made a video about it nearly 2 years ago now, but documented every single thing going over in the whole history of Ukraine, including the Joe Biden. The Joe Biden part was like 15 minutes because the whole video is 2 hours long.
Right.
It was everything moving up into why that would be the case to explain every single piece of Ukrainian history since like 1880 to today to figure out how this happened.
No, you're wrong. Sorry, Aiden, you're wrong. History started
answer.
Two.
That
nope.
was just the answer.
Nope, history started 2 years ago. Sorry. Nope, there's nothing else.
What it actually came down to was, do you have a phone call that you can 100% prove isn't AI generated of Joe Biden saying he did quid pro quo with the prosecutor?
Right.
Or, well, to get the prosecutor... No, there's too many Ukrainian names in my brain right now. I'm just trying to think. I had to memorize so many of them.
Yeah, don't ask me to memorize any Ukrainian names besides Zelensky. But, sorry.
Right. Well, so, you know, the Nuland call, for example, that all of us, of course, that was about trying to set up who would be PM. And then the, well, son of a bitch, as Joe Biden said. Well, they fired the prosecutor. I think that was Lochevsky, yeah? Was his name?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yes.
Nicholas Lochevsky.
Yes.
So... Well, son of a bitch, Joe Biden. And I saw people say, nah, until I hear him say from his mouth directly.
Yeah, they don't.
I took money from Russian oligarchs to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody gives a shit when it's their side. That's the whole thing. Like, that's,
even if he said it, they would be like, whatever. Well,
that's the phenomenon. That's like the cultural political phenomenon, right? Like the same thing's happening with Russell Brand right now,
theory,
too.
Yeah. Yes.
Same
yes.
fucking thing.
Yes.
Right. Who knows? Who knows what really happened with Russell Brand? But the right is definitely going to protect him, and the left is definitely going to villainize him without any proof of either thing.
Mm-hmm. I had this exact conversation with some rando on Twitter, where I just tweeted about like how I said, "Look, I like a lot of the things Russell Brand's done over the last couple of years. Also, I think the first time I ever had seen a man's penis was when I was like 16 years old, and I watched a YouTube video." That had Russell Brand's full dick and balls in it. You know, so he's been a degenerate since I was 16,
right.
At least. So I'm not at all surprised that he was a degenerate, but I'm not going to believe anything until I see definitive proof outside of some people's claims and a few weird text messages from a man who's a self-admitted sex weird. Like,
yeah, he's a sex weirdo. He's always been a sex weirdo. Very clear on the fact that he's been a sex weirdo his whole life. And
I had some,
he's been
a
rehab for sex.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I had some leftists respond to me, said like, well, you wouldn't be saying these things if he was a leftist. I was like, I said the same thing about Johnny Depp. I said the exact same thing about Johnny Depp.
Yeah, and he is a leftist.
Who is a leftist.
Yeah.
But this is, like I said, the politic brain rot, where it's just my side versus your side. And that is actually the way that people are designed to think.
The more I watched the Amber Heard trial, the more I had Johnny Depp's back. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm, but I will say this. We have the one of the worst cultural rots in the United States right now, or in the world, is that we all have to commentate on things before we have any information about them whatsoever. And it's constant. It's constant because everyone's trying to race to with social media and our shows and all this and the media and everything. Everyone's trying to race to get the information out. Always. And everyone wants to be right. And if you're not right, you just pretend you're right. Until people stop talking to you. Literally, that's
what
it is.
Make it till you make it.
Yes. Yep. It's crazy to me. There's been so many times where I've been presented information or facts over the last 5 years even that I've said, you know what? That was probably fucking stupid of me to say that. You're right. I was wrong. It's fine. Mm-hmm. People need to get back to doing those things, especially after COVID. Oh, my God. There's some people out there that owe us apologies, man.
So I did a video on that, actually, on the psychology as to why that will never happen. It was before the one that you guys actually mentioned,
it was
the gas in ourselves video.
It was the
I think it was called like Why You Never Apologize or something like that. Oh, it's called A Get Over It or Get Even.
Oh, I like that.
The Psychology of Forgiveness. And it was about why the people who did this, who forced all this COVID stuff, it's a basic cognitive process, cognitive dissonance. Well, you can actually basically convince your brain to forget information if it makes you uncomfortable.
Right. That's true. That's very true. I know that.
So you can just psych yourself out into thinking that, well, I never really did that. I never actually told you that, you know.
And they do that. We never said it was mandatory. No, we never tried to take your jobs from you.
I know.
No, we never did any of these things. What are you talking about?
You show them evidence and they say it wasn't me, it was someone else, and pass the buck.
That's why I want to put the COVID regime in Guantanamo Bay. Literally. Mm. That's where I want them. I want those guys to go to Gitmo. I want Fauci.
I'd put them a little bit lower in the ground than maybe under. Well,
yeah. I'm running for president. I can't run on that right now. It's a little too cool.
That's my position.
But under the jail is fine with me. I'll be very clear. The Safer Task Force, Fauci, Pfizer, all these people, like they all need to be at minimum investigated, brought up on charges of crimes against humanity.
Yeah, we do process.
Yeah. Yeah, and due process.
There's
and then
plenty of evidence.
Bring back some old French Revolution style execution.
30 years, there will be a Nuremberg style trial.
God,
over
I
this.
Hope so. I hope so.
Well, you can't get blackpilled about stuff because history moves way faster than we think about it when you study the totality of it. Like it feels very slow from our position right now, right here in this moment. But in the longitude of things, there's just looking at history, and I look at trends throughout history. First of all, I think that's why America's headed towards a monarchy and why I'm a monarchist, because I think that's the one I'm down with. And I think it's the winning card, but not just because I think it's the winning card. That's not why. It's actually, I think it's the best form of government for libertarianism, but I digress. These things do get prosecuted, and the people who commit acts of evil never expect themselves to ever be found guilty of it or punished for it. But in that case, I would say read Dante.
Right. Yeah. It's a good. Mm-hmm. Good suggestion, by the way.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. And I do sometimes I sit back and like, I'm not a stoner, I don't smoke weed, but every once in a while I'll sit down and like think about how crazy it is, how far like technology has come in just a short amount of time, like the last 20 years, even like 15 years, 10 years.
Yep.
And then when you think of things in spatial terms like that, like history is not very long. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's really
right.
It's crazy.
We're only here for a blink of a second.
I was entering college 10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm 40. I just hit 40 and I have two grandkids, dude. And it's like I feel like I was in high school 6 weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. Well, my body doesn't feel that way, but my brain does.
Well, like there's I like to think about like media properties that some of them, like Rick and Morty, turned 10 years old this year.
Yeah, that's wild.
What the hell?
Whoa.
Yeah, media stuff really ended. Mess with you. I was thinking about, I started watching The Simpsons when I was like 4 or 5.
Simpsons is older than I am.
I'm older than you too, buddy. But it started as Butterfinger commercials, and then it was on the Tracy Ullman show. And this was when I was like four or five years old. And it's still on. I mean, 30 years later, dude, which just blows my mind. But to think about some of this, I go back and watch a movie. I'm like, oh, I loved this movie. And I'm like, holy shit, this movie's 30 years old. How did this happen? You know,
it's crazy.
Yeah. And when you start thinking about how the 80s, 1980 was over 40 years ago. Like, that's crazy to think about. That's almost half a century, dude. Like,
yeah, insane. I'm starting to get there with
it sucks when you get older, dude. You start thinking about things, and then you look around, and you got like friends have died of like heart attacks and shit, and you're like, wow, dude, how did this happen? What happened here? Anyways, we're getting to the end of this thing. I'm a fan, Aiden. I'm glad that you came on the show. You're
thanks so much for having me.
Your YouTube channel.
I talk too much.
Oh no. It's what we like. It's what we like, especially when AJ's not here. We need somebody to fill our AJ space.
Yeah,
absolutely. where can people find you, support you, listen to you, all those good things?
Sure. You can find me at Aiden Paladin, AYDIN space Paladin, as it's normally spelled, PALADIN. Almost always spell that wrong for some reason on YouTube, and also the same way on Twitter. I have Patreon, Subscribestar, but the best thing you can do is just check out my videos and give them a like if you like them.
Are you on any other video platforms at all?
I have a backup on Odyssey, and I really haven't set up my Rumble channel. I think we streamed there automatically, but I'm not sure. No, we don't. It's just all my videos are backed up on Odyssey. So, for example, if you want to watch that video about the attack helicopter study, which I didn't really even get to finish, but the story about that is that I picked, finally got in touch with the people at the university after 2 weeks of trying. And the guy, I'm now on the phone with the, and I'm in a full investigation with the ethics department and the ethics officer. Why did you make me have to do this? Why did you, I just want you to take away the strike that you, the fake strike you put on my video by saying that, that there's private information, which there's not. There's no private information in the video. They won't talk to me. None of them will pick up the phone. By the way, the university is in session. It's fall semester. Right. They won't pick up the phone. I finally, so I'm like, okay, well, I had no choice than to file a formal complaint with the ethics officer. So unfortunately, because people think that I'm just some stupid YouTuber who doesn't know what I'm doing. No, in fact, I was a PhD student, so I know what I'm doing. So I call the ethics officer. I file a formal complaint. Now we have an open ethics investigation. And in the 2 weeks since I've done that, two of the scholars have had their profiles deleted from the university page, from the university website.
Nice.
I finally got in touch just like 3 days ago with the only person who would bother to pick up the phone over the last 2 weeks, Dr. Montfort. And I said, you know, hello, Dr. Montfort. So nice to talk to you. I've been trying to get in touch with you for a while about this transgender helicopter study. And he said, oh, I know who you are. I don't want to talk to you, and hung up the phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anywho, that's where I'm at.
Is that, but that's yes, where it's at today?
Yes, but I'll be making a follow-up video, and the first video will be up because they have to then take me to court after about like 3 days from now. They have to file a counterclaim, which they're not going to do.
Right.
Because they know their claim's erroneous. And they're now firing seemingly people from their university for doing this, which is, I'm here for.
Yeah.
So yeah, the video will be up, and then I'll be making a probably very short, like 5 to 10 minute
we have to turn, video. Just we have to turn the cancel culture around on them. The only way.
Well, they screwed up a basic like math calculation, and then they tried to silence it. So
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Even in our woke world, you can't do that.
Yeah, I support it. I'm a fan. You got to let us know how it goes. I'll be watching the channel anyway. So I'll see when you put it up for sure. Because I think I even set alerts to your channel because it was. I started watching some stuff. I'm like, this is great. This is way better. Oh, Ryan did not explain you very well to me, by the way. And then I went and watched you, and I'm like, this is great.
Explain.
This is great content, dude. Like, very good content. And I was, she's talking about being like, oh, the people think I'm just a dumb YouTuber. Most of us are just dumb YouTubers. You're like actually intelligent.
You're an intelligent YouTuber.
In the rare find these days, you know? But thank I really you. Appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
And definitely, I started following you on Twitter today, so I'll send you the link if you haven't seen the show. But thank you so much, and I hope everyone will go and follow you and check out your content, and will support your fight against the Oregon State Beavs, even though I love their football team. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much. Absolutely. And nice to talk to you, too.
Yep, you too. All right, guys. Definitely go check her out. She's amazing. Very smart. Great content. Really good stuff. Ryan, you got anything before we take off, buddy?
I mean, follow me on Twitter at BulldogGamer28. Yep. I mean, Twitter's been growing. I've gained over 200 followers since I joined the show. So that's
my friend Dave Casey. Whenever I tag him and try to get people to follow him, he always drops the gif of the Hulk handing the two little tacos. He's like, oh, thanks, dude. Like, I'm only at like 25,000 followers. It's not that big. And our YouTube channel, the Twitter to YouTube pipeline is broken, by the way. It's completely destroyed. Like, I have 25,000 followers on Twitter, and I can get like 3 of them a week to follow, to subscribe to the YouTube. And maybe it's because a lot of my followers hate YouTube. I get it. But YouTube's the only one that pays us right now. Odyssey gives us a little bit of money here and there, very, very infrequently, but we don't live stream to Odyssey or Rumble. All of our stuff is backed up on both Rumble and Odyssey. It automatically goes over there. Yeah. It'll always be over there if you want to watch it, but we appreciate the people hanging out with us for the live show. And we only do the live show at YouTube until Iowa decides to give us internet that's good enough to do restream. It's unfortunate. It sucks. I hate it. Mm-hmm. I think they're talking about actually bringing us fiber here now. So maybe I'll be able to restream to several. Because I want to stream to X now.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Because
that's what I want.
Yeah, you got to stream to X, dude. Because
I also want to get that. I want the Starlink internet.
Yeah. I don't know how it's going to work.
Like I said, we live on a little island, so we're kind of not a lot of options for internet. Mm-hmm. But I can get Starlink. It's just that it's kind of pricey.
Yeah, I don't know. We have like 3 options in Iowa. And it, like, MediaCom's the best one in the part of the state that I live in. Mm-hmm. But my last house that we lived in, that we moved from, had
Metronet.
And they had,
I'm waiting to get that.
Put fiber in there. And I had fiber when I first started doing a show at the old house. I could stream to 18 different platforms if I wanted to. And now I'm like stuck trying to stream.
Yeah. Sometimes we don't even get one.
Yeah. Sometimes we get kicked off of one, but we have streamed to, we tried to restream from the house here, and mm-hmm. we did Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Odyssey, just for those four. Mm-hmm. And man, we were dropping like 60% of our frames, and then it just cut us out immediately.
Yep. And it was during the biggest episode we've ever had
with Clint.
Yeah. With Clint. Yeah, we had like Clint. 150 live viewers. Yeah, it was insane.
Pretty good, yeah. At the time we've had bigger ones. I've had bigger ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, since my time on
my
the show.
Thanksgiving special a couple years ago that had Dave Smith, Scott Horton,
oh, yeah.
Clint, Top Lobster, Dan Smots, Dave Casey, Maj Ture, like it was all of us together.
Yeah.
It did 1,500 live viewers or something.
That's insane.
It was when we just started. I know none of it's crazy. Ben Held, thanks for a $10 super chat. He said, when will you outline your agriculture policy for your campaign? I'll have to talk with my policy team on that. That's something that we're working on. It hasn't been a big priority of the campaign recently, because we're not running for a state level campaign, but I know there are some ag stuff that really needs to be addressed from the federal level. So it's something that we'll talk about. By the way, thank you for the $10 super chat, Ben. I love you to death, man. By the way, if you want to support the campaign, we are like $300 away from our first mm-hmm. significant goal that gets us into the South Carolina debates in November. We're like $300 away. Just go to joshuasmith2024.com. You can check us out there and drop a donation, or you can sign up to be a volunteer, or you can sign up for the email list there, or you can check out our platform and our videos and media and interviews and all that stuff is all up there too. So check that out. Also follow us here on follow me and Ryan and AJ here on YouTube. Please hit that subscribe button if you haven't watched before, or if you're watching now, or if you've watched in the past and forgot to hit subscribe. It helps the algorithm on the channel, if you guys are not aware of that.
And
liking and commenting wonders. All that stuff on the video helps us out a ton, and it's free. You can always join the channel too by hitting the join link. I think I have it for $5.99 a month or something. It helps pump up the channel. It helps us take care of money issues that we have here, but also gets you into the after-hours show that we do typically. We haven't been doing a lot of after-hours shows because we've been going long, but we will be doing more after-hours shows again probably next week or the week after. We'll start going back to doing them all the time. We'll have James Wiley on next week, who's running against Lauren Boebert.
Oh yeah.
In Denver, Colorado, as a libertarian, and he's adopted this vote for vengeance slogan from my campaign.
Yeah.
And if you guys aren't aware, the Colorado Libertarian Party made a deal with the Colorado Republicans, basically saying if there's a good Republican running, they won't run a Libertarian. If there's a good Libertarian running, the Republicans won't run a Republican against them. So this is the first of its kind of agreement. Mm-hmm. And it's really helping them kind of tear down some of the shit that's going on in Colorado. But Boebert famously refused to sign this agreement when the whole rest of the Colorado GOP did. And so they're running a candidate against Lauren Boebert right after she has all this shit go on, and he's a beast. I'm very excited. So he'll be on the show next Thursday. Thanks you guys again for hanging out with us. We'll see you then. But until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contend a violent call to action in the verse and the frame. Timber is my friend, and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control. Because I just mandated Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force. Unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse. In Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing on me and you know it. No product, it just gets it close to COVID.